back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively headed back to Nashville for football this week, and last time this guy and I got together, we were talking about him coming up to Baltimore, maybe having a crab cake, and me getting back down there to Nashville, maybe working some hot chicken or some days at Monell's, passing the baskets of food down the line. Jim Wyatt, I've decided to not come down this week. I not just because my buddy Steve Gorman's got COVID and other people down there got COVID. And I'm just the bombing. I mean, everything that's just happened says to me that I probably need another week just watching this one on TV. But I'm going to miss a hell of a football game on Sunday, right?
Could be. I mean, and we all know the history between these two teams, which makes it even more intriguing. Now, again, you got a winner go home type matchup. So, should be a good one, and it has been a tough year for the city of Nashville. You mentioned the bombing that happened over Christmas Day, which just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Hard to see that, and we had tornadoes back in the spring, and of course, everyone still dealing with the effects of COVID across the country, and it's definitely taking a toll on the city of Nashville and the state of Tennessee. So the Titans have brought some enjoyment, obviously, to this time, finding a way to win the AFC South for the first time since 2008, doing it in dramatic fashion on Sunday, and it puts them into a big matchup against a very hot Ravens team that's going to be obviously going to be tough to beat.
You can follow Jim at Jay White Sports out on Twitter as well as at Titans.com. You're one of the guys from the newspaper side that went to work on the inside of the organization. And I think when you're on the inside of the organization, you have an incredible appreciation for, and I didn't realize this, the last home playoff game they had was when we were down there, right where the bomb went off, right in front of Graham Central Station, right next to Spaghetti Factory, down the street from Hooters on 2nd Avenue. Just witnessing that, knowing where the stadium is and where that is and how many times, if you've been to Nashville, you've walked in front of where that scene is. I think for all of this, but for the organization to want a home playoff game, we haven't had a whole lot of home playoff games here, Jim. But all the success we've had, most of our success has been in Nashville or in Foxborough or in Pittsburgh or in somewhere else. Home playoff games, they're so rare, they're so hard to come by, and your organization's worked so hard for this, and I know it was a big part for Vrabel in the offseason, and now you can't even fill your stadium. It's a weird weird postseason, I should say, for everybody.
Yeah, and that's the disappointing thing about it, because you know what playoff football is like. I mean, it was so much fun last year in the postseason, traveling with the Titans and going to Foxborough and winning there, and then going into Baltimore and then going to Kansas City, and just the hysteria and the buildup to these playoff games is unbelievable. I mean, you can feel the energy in the building. And it's not going to be the same, this weekend. It's going to be 21% capacity. You're talking about right at 14, 15,000 people. There will be energy, and people are excited, and people will be excited in this town. But it is unfortunate that it comes in a year where you can't pack the place. But it still means a lot to people here. I mean, you see me, I'm wearing a Dodger hat, and nobody can tell me that Dodgers winning the World Series and that playoff run didn't mean a lot to Dodger fans, just like this postseason appearance for the Titans means a lot to Titans fans, just like it does in Baltimore. People are still all in on rooting for their team. So there will be energy at the stadium. Titans obviously going to have to play a lot better on defense, but it's a chance for this team to bring its city, some joy during what's been a tough year for everybody. And, going back to the bombing, and you mentioned the Spaghetti Factory and just the historic 2nd Avenue. I mean, it's closed now. There's no telling when it's going to be back open. Those buildings are in shambles. Some of them will have to be knocked down and rebuilt. Spaghetti Factory is where I used to take my dates back in the day. They had the caboose you'd sit inside of. That was kind of the prime spot. And it's heartbreaking just to see it now, just a pile of bricks. And
I was telling Glennon, man, I sang Copacabana there before the Eddie George game with a purple bow up on the second floor doing karaoke. I mean, everybody's got a second memory, right? I mean, and that's that. As much as it spooks me out to think about flying in there Sunday morning and driving in and looking at the hole in the city, I mean, you're native. I mean, I can't imagine if that happened here.
Yeah, and it's an isolated incident. It was someone that that for some reason felt like he was in a place in his life where he didn't want to live any longer, and unfortunately decided to do some damage on the way out. And it's sad because it affects so many people who not only lost their homes, but lost their places of business. My brother has an office that's a block down the street from that, and so many other people have kind of been uprooted, and it leaves a lasting image and effect on a lot of people's lives. So it's a sad deal, just at a time when the city is still kind of recovering from a tornado that ripped through the city just a couple of miles away. So it's a tough year for everybody. And, Nashville is a strong place, people rallying behind one another. I hate seeing so much stuff like that happen. It hurts someone who's a Nashville native and it means so much to them. It hurts to see it. I can't lie.
Jim Wyatt is here. We usually talk Dodgers baseball. It was a good time to do that a couple of months ago as well in the aftermath. Last time I got together with you, the Ravens are trying to feel themselves and not feeling so good. And obviously all of the COVID situation here at Wednesday afternoon football we've endured. Since then, Lamar's done his Willis Reed turn, whatever he was doing to hydrate underneath the stadium in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. And here we go again. I mean, defensively, I watched that game on Sunday, and it feels like that the Texans could still be scoring if they wanted to. I wonder what's happened to that Texans defense, or Titans defense, I should say, because we saw a pretty good version of your defense last year.
Yeah, and, it's more than just Dean Pease, retiring. I think a lot of people felt like, okay, Dean Pease retired, and that's why the drop-off has come. The Titans have lost some other players as well. Had some other guys that didn't pan out. And part of the reason they've struggled so much is because of a lack of a pass rush. Signed Jadeveon Clowney this offseason, signed Vic Beasley this offseason. Neither one of those guys made an impact. Clowney was not invisible, but he didn't have a sack, and then he got hurt and he went on injured reserve. Vic Beasley was a bust. I mean, he just wasn't a good fit here. And so you don't get anything out of those guys from a sack standpoint. And now you have guys like Harold Landry, who was your second round pick a couple of years ago, who really is a good player, plays extremely hard, but he's playing too many snaps. And then you've got other guys in the rotation. And kind of like Correa is another guy who was supposed to help this team this year. Didn't get off to the start he wanted to, was down in the rotation, asked to be traded. They accommodate him. So that's three edge rushers who just didn't work. And as a result, again, Titans are having guys play too many snaps. The guys in the secondary have struggled. They've had injuries back there. They've had trouble getting off the field on third down, giving up way too many big plays. It's a different looking defense compared to last year. In the first round of playoffs, the Titans allowed, I think it's 13 points in New England. They allowed 12 points in Baltimore. Go to Kansas City, eventually got tired, and Patrick Mahomes did what Patrick Mahomes does. It's a different feeling with this year's team going in the playoffs. I think everyone feels like if the Titans are going to make another run, they're going to have to do it with what they have on offense, because that is a unit that's scoring at a high rate and can outscore you.
Defense has got to be driving Vrabel nuts, right? I mean, this is that's what he does. To see them squander a lead, almost wind themselves on the outside looking in on Sunday at various points in the afternoon. I was kind of astonished that it fell apart. I expect the Titans to close the deal that they didn't close, which opened the door to me to think, well, maybe the Ravens go down and win if they can tackle Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and that's a big if, because not a lot of people have tackled Derrick Henry. He went for over 2,000 yards. It was cool to see that this weekend. I've seen that twice since covering the team, once with Chris Johnson, now with Derrick Henry. The Titans can score. I mean, they've scored over 30 points in 10 of the 16 games. They've scored over 40 in 5 of the 16. It's really remarkable. But they've had to do it a lot of times because of a defense that has had trouble keeping opponents out of the end zone. And, I think there were some encouraging signs on Sunday. If you're the Titans, they got 4 sacks. That's a season high. They only had 15 in 15 games coming into that game. They had 4 sacks. They held the Texans to 3 field goals in the first half. The third down percentage was better on defense. all that kind of goes out the window when you give up touchdowns on four straight possessions in the second half, and then you're just kind of trying to stop the bleeding, which is what happened. The Titans got to play clean football. I mean, Derrick Henry is outstanding. He did fumble on a short field that gave the Texans a quick score, and that kind of changed the feel of the game. So the Titans, the formula moving forward, if you're Tennessee, keep scoring, don't turn the ball over, and then on defense, you know, you've got to get some timely stops, whether it's in the red zone, whether it's with turnovers, whether it's getting off the field on third down. That's the formula for success if you're Tennessee, and get it done on special teams. I mean, we all know how much of an impact that can make in these playoff games as well. We know it from the Music City Miracle. We know it from the Titans-Ravens game back in 2000, where the Titans played really good defense that game, just enough offense, but they couldn't make a field goal, and they had one block that was returned for a touchdown. So special teams impacts these playoff games as well.
I'd say for Henry and tackling him and where it is, it looks to me like sometimes in the fourth quarter, teams don't want to tackle him. Like, it looks like they get out of it. You watch it on a weekly basis. The only thing I remember was seeing when Jamal Lewis was running here, where I would see that with other teams on a weekly basis. We haven't had that kind of back around here in a long time.
Yeah, and that's a kind of a cumulative effect, just the pounding and the pounding and pounding that he puts on you. I mean, he's carrying the ball over 30 times a game, and I think when you're taking, you know, punches to the face over again, eventually, you know, you're gonna maybe stop your pursuit a little bit. I don't expect the Ravens to do that. I mean, you know, it's one thing for, you know, the Texans or the Lions or the Jaguars, some of these other teams down the stretch of late who may be not showing interest in tackling late in these games, is another thing when you're going into a playoff game where you're going home if you don't win. And obviously Baltimore's got a lot of motivation coming into this one because of what happened in November, because of what happened in January. So, you know, everybody remembers, you know, those two games. I'm sure the Ravens are going to come in here ticked off, ready to make a statement, ready to kind of make a playoff run of their own. So you're getting everybody's best shot at this point. So Derrick Henry expects a fist fight. I think the Titans expect a fist fight, and I know the Ravens looking at things the same way there.
You almost said remember the Titans, Jim Wyatt. Jay Wyatt Sports joining us here from Nashville. All things Titans and Titans.com. You can find him at Jay Wyatt Sports out on Twitter as well. They felt hell-bent on getting him to 2,000 yards, though, didn't they? I mean, like, that was going to happen. They woke up on Sunday morning, and as much as making the playoffs, they needed to get him there. He could have run for 300. And, you know, you talk about these teams not wanting to tackle. The Ravens ran for 400 yards on Sunday. It's insane.
It is. And, you know, I think the formula for success to beat the Texans was to run it. I mean, the Titans ran for 211 against the Texans in week six. They ran for 212 against them last year when Henry captured the rushing title. I think everybody knew that if the Titans are going to win that game, they were going to have to rely on Derrick Henry. And that's what they did. He went for 250. He had one long run called back. He could have been flirting with 300. I think, certainly, when you're that close, you obviously want to get to 2K, not just for Henry, but for the offensive line. And in this case, for the entire team, they needed it to win. I mean, the Titans can move the ball, throwing it. You know, Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith. They've got some weapons aside from Derrick Henry. But Henry's the workhorse, and he's the guy that's going to really carry you on offense. And that was the perfect formula Sunday. Let him keep getting carries. Let him keep racking up, getting closer to 2,000, and keep scoring points along the way. I know Baltimore is going to come in here, and they're going to be focused on keeping that from happening. And the Titans are not going to run the ball against Baltimore like they did against the Texans, but they're going to have Henry be effective.
You know, we talked about last year's game and the nightmare part of all of that. You talked about clean football for the Titans. You know, the Ravens did not play a clean game last year at all. They've played really clean football the last month. You know, since COVID, since Pittsburgh, since the embarrassment of all of that, this last month, penalties, blown plays, blown assignments, just bad things haven't really happened. Now, they've been playing mainly non-competitive teams. Cleveland would be the exception. They went out there and won that dramatic game. But the notion that the Ravens are playing better than they were a year ago, I'll hear that. I don't know how your team's going to tackle Lamar. And what was so different was last year, we didn't see it coming, but that defense played Lamar really well, played this offense really well, in addition to the drops and the turnovers. But it's going to take that sort of an effort to beat Lamar again on Sunday.
It is. I mean, he's a dynamic playmaker. I mean, Mike Vrabel already raving about him this week, and how can you not? I mean, just watch him and see what he does, and he drives you crazy because he can run around, make you miss. I mean, the Titans again have had trouble on third down. You know, Ravens getting those third and four, third and five situations, he'll scramble and run for it. I think to the Titans, you've got to tackle well. You've got to get them in longer down and distance situations. You've got to frustrate him and make him throw it. And the Titans have had some success, you know, had some success against the Ravens in November doing that. But like you said, Nestor, I mean, a lot of these games, it's just two plays, the cleaner brand of football. I don't expect the Titans to stop the Ravens on Sunday, and I don't expect the Ravens to necessarily stop the Titans. I think these teams are going to have success moving the football and putting up some points, but somebody's going to force a turnover that changes the game, or somebody's going to get the red zone stops that kind of halts momentum. And I think that's the key in these playoff games is your big time players are going to make plays. It's hard to keep that from happening, but you can't make it easy for them. And I think the Titans have to do that on Sunday to have a chance in this game. I mean, it's crazy to think about. The Titans have won two in a row against the Ravens, and they're hosting this game. And they're still, I think, a pretty decided underdog. I think a lot of people feel like, the Ravens are the team to beat in this game.
Well, the Ravens have certainly turned the corner here over the last month. A different version of our team you'll be seeing Sunday, 1 o'clock. That's noon central. Jim Wyatt can be found at Titans.com as well as at Jay Wyatt Sports out on Twitter. And usually anywhere the Dodgers are playing. Remind us again who won the World Series. You've been waiting your whole life, though, right? So,
it's been a long time. Yeah, since 1988. I was in Houston over the weekend and stayed close to Minute Maid Park and made a little run, through downtown and past that stadium. Kind of saw an Astros trash can. I couldn't avoid taking a picture of it. It was located right outside of the stadium. It had a big Astros logo with Waste Management.
Is that where Altuve put the wire when he took it off in that trash can? Is that what happened?
It's funny. I look at that and they've got, I think, on maybe Bill Bondsman, a wall on a Bill Bondsman building there. It's got the box score of the 13-12 Astros win over the Dodgers. And I looked at that and thought, well, that doesn't happen if not for cheating.
Get into that conversation. Next time I have you on, I'll invite John McClain on, and we can go back and forth on that, because I'm sure the two of you have had a hell of a time with that.
Yeah, and I don't like to rub it in. I mean, I don't like to – but with the Astros, it just still is a very sore subject with me because I
don't like cheaters.
Yeah, I did wait a long time to get to this one, and that 2017 was painful when the Dodgers didn't win it, and I think we know now.
I can hear McClain saying, "Jim, hell, I've waited since the Colt 45s. What the hell are you talking about?" I can hear him saying that. So, hey, yeah. I appreciate your friendship all these years. We'll get together Sunday at 1 o'clock. Don't wreck our season, please. I mean, we've had enough go wrong around here. I know you guys have had as well. It's going to be a great weekend of football, man. The league, for all of the problems, and I know last time I had you on talking baseball, I was throwing the Eddie Fainter stuff out about whether it's a real season or not. Boy, this feels like real playoffs. I mean, I know it's been tough all the way around, and I see the professionalism of everybody outside of the Philadelphia Eagles, I should say. But the league itself, this tripleheader this weekend, I mean, the league's really proud of getting 256. Everybody, and I know your building had, COVID. Our building had COVID here. These are two organizations that have really been through it this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough year and it's still going. I mean, I just seen the some of the news out of Cleveland this morning about the COVID cases that they're dealing with. They're going to be not going to have their head coach coaching against, in the playoff game. That's kind of the sign of the times. And even though we made it through the regular season, doesn't guarantee, you know, it's going to be smooth sailing now that the playoffs are here. So you just got to continue to keep your fingers crossed. Very thankful that we've been able to have a football season. Hope we can make it all the way to the Super Bowl without any, you know, dramatic surges within the league. But I'm excited about it. You're excited about it. The fan base excited about it. The players are excited about it. You can't tell me when guys are not celebrating in the locker room after winning an AFC South title for the first time in 12 years, you know, wearing the one not done shirts and AFC South division championship hats. You can't tell me this season doesn't mean anything to them. This is still a season, even though you don't have the packed stadiums and you don't have the hoopla surrounding these games and the tailgating like you've had in years past. It's very real. And I think the people in Baltimore, the people in Nashville, the people in playoff cities across the country want to keep it going.
Well, you bring your Nashville hot chicken. I'm going to bring my Rofo world famous chicken and some crab cakes. And at some point, we'll all get together. We'll walk down Broadway, have a proper beer and some barbecue and do that, open beverages, the whole deal in the future. But for now, we'll just play football on Sunday, try to keep safe. Stay safe. Congratulations to your Dodgers. I don't want to congratulate you on your Titans on Monday. It's going to be a war out there, Jimmy.
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I hope this is going to be a busy January for me. If not, certainly it's going to be a long off season.
And look, man, give McClain all the trouble you want about cheating with the Astros. I'm an Orioles fan. We don't cheat. We hire cheaters. Remember that. All right.
Hey, I enjoyed my trip to Baltimore. I was there in November too. I had some good meals. Went for a great run. The Inner Harbor. It's a beautiful city.
My neighborhood. That's my neighborhood, the Inner Harbor.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was outstanding. I guess it's Fells Point. I made the run up through Fells Point. It was a beautiful weekend for that, and spent some time walking around Camden Yards, and it's a good city to spend a weekend.
1966, my cousin reminds you, just as a little reminder. Jim Wyatt joining us here, Jay Wyatt Sports, the way to find him, out on Twitter and at Titans.com. Stay safe, Jimmy. Enjoy the game on Sunday, all right?
Okay, thank you, Nestor.
Jim Wyatt joining us here, longtime insider on the outside at the newspaper there, now on the inside of the inside along the banks of the Cumberland River, where Jimmy Schwartz, the now retired Jim Schwartz, once taunted me with a full replay of the 3 or 4 or 5. They all run together. The years we lose, it was a year we lost. That's all I remember. Nasty at WNST.net finds me. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of our great sponsors making the move from WNST.net over to Baltimore Positive, including many folks out on YouTube and out on all of our channels on social media. My Instagram, somebody just tagged me on Instagram a little while ago, having fun with Rasig's Oriole thing that I found in a box here. He made this for my wife and gave it to her on an Ostick for back in 2015 when we did our baseball tour. So we're all having fun around here. We are going to have several of the Baltimore County executives on. Johnny O is going to be joining us from Towson this week. We're going to have Stuart Pittman joining us from Anne Arundel County. Calvin Ball is going to be joining us from Howard County. Brandon Scott's joining us next week. So we're going to have a lot of local leaders on as we move into 2021 to talk about things that are going on around here that are impactful above and beyond the impact of the football game, which is important on Sunday. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore sports.